Welcome to a Durban Christian Center South Ministry message. We hope you enjoy this inspiring word from our senior pastor, Pastor Johnny Grobler.
Now I want to speak to you this morning about true worship. Father, we bless you. We honor you. We glorify you. We come today with hearts full of adoration and with ears open to hear what the Spirit would say. We are attentive to your word. We pray today that we'll be transformed by the hearing of your word. The entrance of your word, Father, today will bring life. We thank you for transformation that comes by revelation. We thank you for your rhema word, the living word of God, broken to us here today. And Lord, thank you that today we'll be transformed from glory to glory as we hear the living word of God. We bless you as we commend ourselves into your hands. Everybody said, amen and amen. Praise God. John chapter 4 and verse 19, I've entitled my message today, True Worship. Last Sunday night, God laid on my heart to minister on worship. And as I was just praying the whole week, looking to him, there's so much that you want to share with the church because I only have 1 hour a week. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, poor pastor. He needs to change all of us. Thank God I'm not alone. The Holy Ghost works on you the rest of the week. Amen. Praise God. But as I was praying, God laid on my heart to repeat that message because worship is vital. And to speak to you this morning, the morning congregation, about worship. Now, are you in John chapter 4? And verse 19, the woman said to Jesus, Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to a woman, Believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, everybody say true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Everybody say with me, true worship, spirit and in truth. God is seeking such. So this woman comes to Jesus, Jesus speaking to her, and she's caught up with traditions of worship, where you should worship. Is it in Jerusalem? Worship like our fathers, like your fathers. She's caught up with all these things, and immediately Jesus, by these words he speaks to her, shows her that actually the place of worship is irrelevant. The place, the traditions, physical location does not determine the value of your worship. And I want you to know that this was revolutionary. It was something never heard before. Absolutely revolutionary, unheard of, because up to that time, Jerusalem was the headquarters. Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. In fact, 2 Chronicles 33:4 says he also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And here's Jesus revealing something else. And Jesus says it's not about Jerusalem. The same Jerusalem where Solomon built that great temple, where all the worship was set, the center of worship. And Jesus makes this absolutely revolutionary statement. And he reveals something to her. He brings revelation to her. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, every rhema, revelation, word from the mouth of the Father. He brings rhema to her. He brings something to her never seen before. He speaks this and he says to her that God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Not a meaningless bickering about you should worship here or you should worship there, or this is the way or that is the way, or you should stand or you should sit. Or, you know, all these things. No, some people. No, you shouldn't have guitars in church. The religious. Only organs in church. What about the time before there was organs? Amen. Yeah, no, we can't have that. We can't have these things. And people are so resistant. Listen, anything and everything we have that can enhance our worship is good for our worship. Amen. So, you know, even lights. Now, you know, I know a lot of people say there shouldn't be lights in church. Whoa, you're bringing the world into the church. The church was the first ones to introduce lighting before the world even had it. The church had stained glass windows that when the light shines through, there's all kinds of colors and create an atmosphere. Oh, no, there shouldn't be smoke machines. Well, what about all the incense and all the stuff that got burned? It's not about that. Listen, all those things can be distractions, but used correctly, they can enhance our worship. That none of them should be distractions. You know, even singers can be a distraction. A person stands, they think they've got a wonderful voice. Amen. And so they sing just a bit louder than everybody else. Everybody can hear them. Singing. And they become a distraction. Amen. We should never be a distraction in the house of God. When we come to worship, the glory belongs to him. The moment somebody's eyes turns to see me because I'm shouting louder than everybody else, or, you know, and there is place for shouting when everybody's shouting and all that. You know, but if during the worship you acting in a way that causes everybody around you to stand and look at you, you're out of order. Amen. Because everything is for his glory and for his honor. Amen. Now, sometimes God will use us as a testimony. Amen. As a revelation. And so we know these things. But I want you to know, Jesus says to her, God's actually not interested about where you worship. He's interested how you worship. And he is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. This morning, when it was Sunday morning and you woke up, God was ready, seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. In spirit and truth does not mean sincerely. That's what the religious think. Sincerely. You know, as long as you're sincere. Well, there are those who worship sincerely, but they're sincerely wrong. Amen. You can worship a tree sincerely, truthfully, from the depth of your heart, with your whole being. And yet, it's not spirit and truth. Do you get the point? Worshiping in spirit and truth does not mean sincerely. There is sincerity when you worship in spirit and truth, but that is not the test. It's not the litmus test of what true worship is. Every kind of worship you see in the world, let me tell you today, has its origin in the mind of man, in man's imagination and thoughts about this is how it should be. And because it is that, it is void of heavenly inspiration. It is void and it falls short of the glory. It cannot be worship in spirit and truth. It is worship, but it is not worship of God in spirit and truth. There's something very different about those who worship in spirit and truth. We see our people travel long distances to try and make their worship valid. They'll go all the way to Jerusalem. Or they'll think, well, you know, I must go all the way towards this great river Ganges. And maybe I must go to Mecca.
Maybe if I find the threshing floor of David and worship there, or I climb a high mountain. We see our various religions worship. They turn their faces towards Mecca. Others, like our Hindu friends, give, you know, their sacrifices and do what they do, and their offerings of milk and fruit. And we see how the Shintoists and the Sai Babas, all of them have different ideas. And you think to yourself, who is right? Jesus said none of them, because none of them have their origin in spirit and truth. Jesus said God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. They try to bring their worship. They try to honor God. But Jesus said that worship is dead. It's blind. It's void of inspiration. It's void of revelation. It's void of God's blessing. It cannot attract God. Because true worship makes you truly alive. True worship fills your life with revelation. True worship touches your heart with godliness. Hallelujah. Jesus wants us to worship. Thank God we don't worship by tradition. We worship by revelation. Thank God we worship him in spirit and in truth. Your worship is valuable, it's treasured by God. Hallelujah. Because it's a unique sound coming from the earth that no man can have. It is totally void of earthly origin. It is godly. Hallelujah. You know, I've seen sometimes people can worship and be right in the middle of others worshiping, yet they're not worshiping. Have you seen that? And before we start saying yes, there are those. Say yes, I am one of those many times. Amen. You just come and that day you don't feel like it. How many of you have had a day of I don't feel like it? A bad hair day. Amen. The ladies call it. Us men, we don't have bad hair days. A long time ago, I got rid of bad hair days. Amen. Hallelujah. But when we worship, it has to be your own worship. It's not others cannot affect you. Your own worship. Your own revelation of God. Hallelujah. We enter jointly. We set an atmosphere. But then we personally enter worship. Hallelujah. And we catch a revelation of God. We enter his presence. Others cannot worship for you. Amen. Others' worship cannot be your worship. You are personally responsible for your worship. It is your own personal communication. It's not the choir's job to worship for you. It's not the singer's job to worship for you. It's not the elder's job or the congregation's job. It's not the musician's job. Worship is a personal privilege. It's a personal ministry to God. It's a personal responsibility. It's a personal response to God. Worship comes from your own heart by us being prepared to worship the living God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. Thank God. We worship by revelation. Now, this is what I want to show you. We worship by revelation. Heavenly revelation. We worship by what God reveals of himself, and we are a reflection of that glory. Hallelujah. He is the sun. We are the moon. Who is this that rises like the dawn, as bright as the moon? As shining as the sun. The sun shines, the moon reflects. Hallelujah. We reflect his glory. That's why when the church starts worshiping and reflecting, the glory fills the house. Hallelujah. Because we become a reflection. Revelation is filling our worship. When we worship by revelation, we know whom we believe. We see him for who he is. We discover that he is true. We discover that he is holy. We discover that he is pure. We discover that he is gracious and kind and loving, and he is the sum of all perfection. We reflect his beauty. Amen. We express his divine attributes. He is known by the worship of his church. Hallelujah. And not only is he known, but we are known by him in worship. Thank God, he desires that we know him through worship. Getting to know God. You cannot know God in university. You cannot know God in Bible college. You cannot know God in teachings. You know God in worship. Hallelujah. Because it's revelation. I worship him in spirit because I know him. Hallelujah. Jesus defined acceptable worship as worship in spirit and in truth. Those who are born of the Spirit can worship in the Spirit. Because we are born of the Spirit, your spirit is created in the image of God. Therefore, you can reflect the image. Hallelujah. Those who are not born of the Spirit cannot worship God in spirit. Amen. There are those who enter the spirit realm, but they cannot know God because they're not of his spirit. And there's lots of dangers there. Entering the spirit realm without entering through Jesus Christ immediately exposes you to demonic influence. It's impossible to enter the spirit realm without Jesus and know God. Impossible. Because he is the revelation of the Father. Somebody say amen. Amen. So true worship sees God and values and honors and truly appreciate his true worth. I come to a knowledge of him by revelation knowledge. The ungenerate spirit has no access to that knowledge. And therefore cannot worship in that revelation. They can sing songs. They can even use the same words. But they can never manifest the glory. They can never make it. That's why the unregenerate can worship, but because they're not worshiping a holy God, they can worship and be unholy at the same time. Because your revelation of him changes you from glory to glory. The Bible says when we see him, we will be like him. Every time you enter true worship, you're transformed. You are changed. You walk out and you're not the same anymore. The things you walked in with fall away from you. There's a cleansing. There's a purification. There's a fire. There's a revelation and a change and a desire that grabs a hold of him and reflects and rejects everything else and holds on to that. True worship changes you. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only God's own can come to his throne. There's no access for the unredeemed. Zero access. Only those redeemed and enlightened by revelation can see him. That's why the church worship is so glorious. It's a place of touchdown of revelation. Hallelujah. That's why we set an atmosphere. Israel's worship was not the worship Jesus was pointing at. She said, well, should we worship there? Should we all become like Israel? Should we go worship in Jerusalem like that? Jesus said, the time's coming where that is no longer the thing. The time is coming where true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. Israel's worship was religious worship. It was not worship in spirit and truth. They could only worship by ritual. They could only worship by revelations that prophets had of things as they are. And they could worship the form, the type. They could only stand outside. They had no access to the Holy of Holies. They could stand outside and see the lamb and see the blood and see the sprinkling and see the veil with the five colors. They could stand, but they were still in the outer court. They weren't even in the inner court. And even in the inner court, in the holy place, the priest standing there could only worship by types and shadows, the showbread and the table and the candlestick and all these things. It was types. They couldn't enter the holy place. And even the priests, where once a year he entered the Holy of Holies, when he entered, it was dark, pitch black. Couldn't see a thing. Entered with the blood. They worshiped, they stood out far. They couldn't worship in spirit and truth. But we who are born again, hallelujah, washed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed and set apart, bought with bold access to the throne of grace, come boldly into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus in a new and a living way, clothed with garments of salvation, clothed with robes of righteousness, standing as sons and heirs, full of revelation. And His Spirit is our Spirit, and our Spirit knows His Spirit. Therefore, we can worship. Hallelujah. Worship by true revelation. Only the redeemed can worship Him in spirit and truth. The religious can come into the same church service, and they're standing outside, and they can't see, and they can't hear. They can only see the reflection in us. Hallelujah. That is why many times when there's true worship and the glory of God fills the house, people stream to the altar because they're experiencing something. Somebody say hallelujah. I can worship Him in the beauty of holiness. I can know Him. Jesus says to this woman, He says, you worship what you do not know. Hallelujah. But thank God you and I, we know. Hallelujah. Jesus says, and watch this, He says, you worship what you do not know, but the hour is coming, and now is. In other words, He draws a line in the sand. He says, up to here, it's been like that, but now. Now is, why? Because now is Jesus. Now is the door. Now is the Christ in whom you can be raised and seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus, and in Christ have revelation and worship. The hour now is. It's in Him. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. So the Messiah has appeared. The gospel has been preached. The unregenerate has been saved. Those of the outer court have been made the righteousness of God, and they can enter boldly and stand before Him and see Him for who He truly is, and have our faces shine with the glory. Hallelujah. Because of His presence, somebody say amen. That is why we worship, because worship manifests the presence. Worship manifests the presence of God. That is why true born-again worship changes atmospheres. Hallelujah. Have you ever thought about that? How our worship brings heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Man, I'm excited. The glory, the revelation that comes from Him. So Jesus said to her, listen, it's not by rituals. It's not by those things. It's not by the place. It's by revelation. That's why it's so important we prepare our hearts. Because worship is not singing love songs. There are love songs in worship, but worship is not a love song. People can stand and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But they've not entered. They're not singing it by revelation. They're not seeing the God of love. I want to say it this way. Yes, there is I love you in that place of worship. But that I love you is based on you love me. Seeing Him who is love, and therefore I reflect that love. Out of court, I love you is I love you emotionally. But worship by revelation leads to a place where that love is an expression of His love for you. And it becomes the kind of love, agape love. Hallelujah. Expressed. And you know as well as I know, only once you can yourself repeat something, do you have it. Hallelujah. You can have somebody teach you and teach you and teach you and teach you. I learned that when I was doing crusades with Pastor Fred. I did crusade after crusade after crusade with Pastor Fred. And the first time I said, okay, now I'm pitching a tent. God tricked me into it. Pitched a great evangelism tent. Advertised. Pastor Fred's coming. And on the day of the crusade, he said, John, are you preaching? I'm not even coming. I said, what's going on? Do you know I didn't know what to preach? I've been like literally hundreds of his crusades. Then I had to. Hallelujah. Until your worship is your song. Hallelujah. His revelation is not yours. That's why we worship like this. Some are at different levels. Some are at other places of manifestation, glory, because their revelation is deeper. Hallelujah. And that's the blessing of corporate worship, because all of us are lifted together. As we all come, we bring our worship, we start seeing Him. God corporately starts revealing Himself. And if the worship leader switched on, he'll pick up the revelation, carry it, and everybody together sees. Hallelujah. And the whole church enters the manifestation of who God's revealing Himself to be on that day. Hallelujah. Are you with me? That's why some days in worship, He's the Lamb of God. Other days in worship, He's the Lion of Judah. Other days in worship, He's the loving Father. Other days in worship, He's the inspirer. Hallelujah. Other days, He's the healer. Whatever He is, He reveals Himself. And those who catch, have you wondered why Benny Hinn leads the congregation in worship? Because if He can get them to catch the revelation, everybody enters and all get healed. Hallelujah. That's why we spend time in worship first. Because of Him we receive. Somebody say hallelujah. So when we worship God, okay, I'm going to short circuit my message a little bit. Just bring you this. When we worship God, it's based on seeing Him. We worship by revelation. They that comes to God must believe that He is. Amen. When you come to Him, we see Him. We worship Him in spirit. We worship Him. When you worship Him in spirit, you can see Him of a truth for who He is. Your own truth. His truth becomes your truth. Hallelujah. We no longer worship Him by others' truth. Know Him by what others say, but you yourself know. So it so much is based on revelation. Hallelujah. So I wanted to show you this. Revelation 4 and verse 8. Let's look at that. I just want to say this to you. When you know Him, when you see Him, that revelation of Him is imparted to you, transforms and changes you. Hallelujah. That's why we desire to spend time in worship, so that we can be changed from glory to glory, into His likeness and image. Hallelujah. When those times come when I'm worshiping on my own, I break all my guitar strings. Because I get so excited, I just get lost. Amen. One day my guitar strings broke. I took the guitar and I threw it sideways. I felt like a rock star. And I said, this thing is limiting my expression. Hallelujah. What I want to say to you is seeing Him. If you look at the four living creatures that's around, they're right around Him. They're the ones that carry the revelation of Him, that sing day and night, holy, 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 continuous revelation of who He is. Watch them. Watch this. Revelation 4:8, and the four living creatures, each of them having six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." Notice there, they are full of eyes around and within. In other words, they see him perfectly. They are full of eyes. Continuous revelation of who he is. They can catch it. They can see it and start expressing it. Hallelujah. They worship God because they can see him. And that is why our worship should deepen. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. The Bible says there are full of eyes all around and within. Only those can truly express that worship. In other words, they see him. And that's what God called you and I to do. See him. Hallelujah. See him. Why do we close our eyes? So we're not distracted by this. That's why I tell our people doing the lighting, all's great in the beginning, have a bit of light, but once you get to worship, those things must calm right down. So you can start focusing and seeing him in your spirit. Hallelujah. With spiritual eyes. Nothing on this earth can reflect him. Heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool. What will you build him to inhabit him? So we come to the place of deep worship. And saints, it takes preparation. That's why I'm often so concerned when people arrive late at church. They think they worship, but they're singing "I love you" from the outer court. They never enter revelation. Can I just say something while I'm at that, my dear church? It's my desire that we give God excellence and our very best and true worship. Hallelujah. How many of you know DCC is known for our worship? If you continuously late, there's a big problem. If you're late now and then, once in 70 years, you're late. We understand there was a problem that day. Your leg got cut off and your other leg was shackled in a piece of concrete. And you couldn't get into the presence. But if it's become habit, you are robbing yourself of revelation. Because you've never entered praise, you cannot enter worship. Praise is an order. God said, commanded us to praise him. Because it's the gateway. It's the beginnings of revelation. Praise different to worship. Praises of his hands, his acts and things. Worship is him, his worship, his value, revelation. So today the Spirit of God wants to reveal himself here. And I want us all to stand and I want to sing that song, "Holy, holy, holy is your name." And open your heart and let him fill you with revelation. Let the glory of God fill the house. Let the presence of God, let the heavenly glory touch your spirit. Let your own expression of him start seeing him for who he is. Shebra sekena. Well, come on, just close your eyes and focus your attention on him. Sebena kaba sike bena. Just start praying in other tongues. Sebre sabana. That's what worship often translates.
We trust that you were blessed by that word. Our prayer is that you are inspired to become more like Jesus. If you'd like more information about Durban Christian Center, contact us on Durban code 031-467-0457. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us a praise report or even a prayer request. Thank you and God bless.